98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by 72 Sold. Get the price for your home at 72sold.com.
Maloney leaves the control room of the Auction Community Studios, walks into Paul's stall with a list of questions she's got based on facts of sports that she's confident you either need to know more about or don't know at all and need to find out. It's the Rush Hour Reboot. Maloney, go.
So Kyler Murray has led the Cardinals to a 2-0 start this season, and yesterday ESPN debated whether or not the Cardinals' second-year quarterback is already a top-10 player.
Hell no! And guys, listen, I understand, man, we get all excited, and the door's been open for Kyler, right? We talk about his talent all the time.
He went on to compare Kyler's stats so far this season to the stats Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson had through two games in their second season, which led ESPN's Ryan Clark to this conclusion.
Those ain't really top 10 quarterback stats. Those are, you have a lot of talent, Arizona really sucks most of the time, you're 2-0, and you've played well. That ain't kick the door down stats. And it is not an indictment on Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be really good and in the MVP conversation one day. This ain't the day.
I played that second part just for you, Wolf.
He is so good, by the way.
What is it like being the color analyst for a team who sucks most of the time?
Are you dog? You?
Oh, look at that.
I can't
well
even
done, Maloney.
You did that to me right there. I mean, that's just
out of anywhere
it,
to take this topic
just
and
stop
she
it.
Sticks it to you.
I mean, honestly, I know you can look at it. The last couple seasons have been rough. There's no doubt about it, all right? But before that, it was the Bruce Arians area, and there was a lot of winning that was going on there, too.
There was a lot of winning early. It started to fizzle pretty fast.
Hey, 5 years over 50 wins, baby. That's all I'm talking about. Two NFL Executive of the Year awards, by the way, in those 5 years. A lot of good stuff.
Did they get any special team coaching awards during those 5 years?
Ryan Clark, the best thing about that is Kyler Murray does not care. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what anyone thinks. He doesn't care if he is in the top 10 or isn't. He's going to go about his business exactly the same way, and that's the best thing about that.
When do you think Kyler will be a top 10 player in the NFL?
Top 10? Why do you do this to me, Mal? I mean, we've got to have this top 10 prediction. Is that what we've got to have?
We can have the franchise quarterback prediction if you'd rather.
Please, let's just all sit back and watch what Kyler Murray is doing right now, because it is good.
He is, first of all, Wolf's dodging. Secondly, he is a franchise quarterback. He is not a top 10 player. I mean, to be a top 10 player, this is gonna be crazy math. You have to be better than every player other than 9 of them. It's just not true yet. Aaron Donald, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, D-Hop, Julio Jones, Chandler Jones, Michael Thomas, George Kittle, Stephon Gilmore, Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce, Aaron Rodgers. Right? That's more than 10. He's not better than those guys as of yet. Will he be? When will he be? Let's talk after year 3.
Did you have Aaron Donald in there?
I had him at number 1.
Okay, there you go.
The Cardinals are gearing up to face the Lions on Sunday at State Farm Stadium. So what does the Cards' Week 3 opponent think about Kyler?
He can really get to top-end acceleration extremely quick, and I think that's what catches a lot of people by surprise. You know, he can just burst and explode, and within two steps, he's at full speed, and then he can stop within a step or two. And I think some of that for quarterback position, you know, you're not necessarily used to it. It's almost like trying to tackle a punt returner.
What kind of performance do you think Kyler will have on Sunday?
The expectation for Kyler Murray is, of course, he's going to go out and he's going to play well, and the Arizona Cardinals are going to win. That's his expectation. And that's the thing I love about that. Everyone knows it's his expectation. And if you're not doing your job, if you're not pulling your weight, what's your problem? I love this, because this expectation, this understated do your job mentality that he has is exactly what this team needs.
I think he'll do great this weekend when you grade the film. I think his numbers will be above average. And the reason why is I think this is the Kenyon Drake game. I think with the way that the football team and the 49ers play, it was all about the horizontal passing game, get the ball out, move as quickly as you can. I think this is the game where it's going to be a lot more Kenyon Drake and then a little bit more play action down the field after you soften it. Instead of running in the second half, I think you're going to see a lot more rushing plays in the first half. Mm. And therefore, Kyler's numbers will be slightly down.
The Lions defensive coordinator also had some comments on the Cardinals offense yesterday.
You know, the one thing I liked about coaching in the league is you didn't have to worry about playing Texas Tech. Well, we're playing them. So we got to be good. You got to be sound and all that stuff. And then not to mention the tempo.
Our RC Anderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, who of these four players will make the biggest impact on the Cardinals' offense this season? Andy Isabella, Jerron Brown, Chase Edmonds, or Dan Arnold?
Chase Edmonds.
Ooh, man, that is good right there. Boy, I'll tell you what I've seen from Andy Isabella, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, that will totally change the dynamic. I bring a new element to this offense that will terrify defensive coordinators. You tell me that run by that he's put on tape against Washington and the fact you can line him up in the slot and he'll run a slant route and catch the ball with his hands for 13 yards. Yeah, Andy Isabella. The impact he could have on this offense would be massive. Isn't that right, Henry Ruggs III?
Not enough sample size yet after all of last year for me to put him over Chase Edmonds yet.
So 45% say Chase Edmonds, 29% Andy Isabella, 23% Dan Arnold, and 3% Jerron Brown.
The guy they're missing the most right now is Max Williams.
The fate of the Pac-12 football season will be decided today. The conference presidents and chancellors will meet today and are expected to vote on whether or not the Pac-12 will play a football season this fall. ASU head coach Herm Edwards joined you guys on Monday to discuss.
I think Thursday we'll all know what's going on, but we're excited that the way it's moving right now. We just have to wait for the people that make those decisions to make the decision. So I'm pretty sure eventually we're going to get to play.
What do you think happens today?
I think the Pac-12 is going to vote to actually proceed with the football season as soon as possible. And at the same time, as soon as I say that, I think we're probably not going to see it until Halloween.
I think it's going to be after that. I think that they're not going to play, and I think they're going to vote to play, but they're not going to start until November. And what's amazing to me about all this is not that the Pac-12 is embarrassing itself. I'm used to it. It's the fact that they still haven't advanced to the point that they even know they're embarrassing themselves. How many people that are high up that are wearing the emperor's clothes that actually think they're doing a good job is really scary. There is no group of leadership more lost in their own head than the Pac-12.
Miami got a superstar performance from Tyler Hero as his 37-point night led the Heat to a 112-109 win over the Celtics in Game 4. Wolf, it's your new adoptive playoff team, right?
There's no doubt about it, yes. I love watching Tyler Hero play because of how he's locked in his intensity level. But more than that, it's the Miami Heat. They're my new adopted team, yes.
I look at this, and I'm focused on how many teams got rid of Jimmy Butler and why. Because he works too hard. Because you don't like him. Because he embarrasses you. You don't like the fact that he gets angry because you're not working hard. Every team that got rid of Jimmy Butler is soft. That's it. And now he's found a home in Miami. Why? Because Pat Riley is hard. Because Eric Spoelstra is hard. And who are the players that they recruit / draft / work out? Players that accept working hard. And now Jimmy Butler is surrounded by guys that work hard. And guess where they are? One game away from the NBA Finals with the least amount of talent from about the top 8 teams in the NBA.
When you hear people talking about how defense generates offense, think of the Miami Heat. This isn't a motto with them. This is life. This is their culture. And I know you could say that about Boston to some degree and Brad Stevens as well, but Miami has just done it better. They're so stinking tough. And the face of that is Jimmy Butler.